I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch. I think we've gotten to the bulk of them. But if we have some late arrivals, maybe I'll make time to respond. Joining us now on the line, our returning champion, about this time every Friday, you get to hear from State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama.
We will kick it off here. Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of a Greek organization known as a fraternity?
No, actually not. I did my undergrad at the University of Richmond in Virginia, and while there were fraternities there, they were nothing like what we're used to at our universities in Alabama. They're very, very small organizations and not all that important at the University of Richmond. So I apologize. I am not and have never been a frat boy.
Okay, just wanted to clear that up. We've had some accusations on this program, and I said I'd get to the bottom of it. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have now debunked the Chris Elliott is a frat boy operative myth. Anyway, the scene of Montgomery right now, I guess since inauguration, I guess things have settled down. What do you have? Maybe some budget hearings, the possibility of a special session, but from here to March, kind of easy cruising.
Well, I may contradict that just a little bit. I'll tell you, this week in particular was fairly busy. I was up there a good bit. We had about a four-hour-long meeting and presentation with Attorney General Marshall and former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who were both in town to talk about serious concerns about some criminal law issues and some prison issues and some of that criminal justice stuff that that I have been surprised to see a Republican legislature lean into more than I really thought they would. So pretty busy on that. And then, of course, our Joint Transportation Committee meeting that's held quarterly was this week to talk about ALDOT's annual plan and, of course, the updated State Transportation Improvement Plan and the money and where it's going and all of that, those types of things. Of course, South Alabama is faring pretty well as it pertains to transportation funding. So those are two big things. And then next week, the big thing to watch will be Contract Review Committee. Of course, contracts let by the state have to go through the Contract Review Committee. There's a new chairman, Senator Dan Roberts from Mountain Brook, that'll be overseeing that. So, you know, there, if you look at week after week after week, this is going to be pretty active as continued discussions about ARPA funding and things like that continue to happen in Montgomery. So we're not in session yet, but it's busy in Montgomery.
I like this discussion. Well, I don't like it, but I like your assessment that this Republican legislature seems to be leaning into the criminal justice, and it's weird to me. It went, you know, after the Jimmy O'Neill Spencer situation, when maybe it was an overreaction out of, but there was an effort to try to get on top of that problem and not letting violent individuals out. So it looks like that situation got rectified. But now the conversation, when we talk about criminal justice reform or any of that, it is dominated by these left-wing storefronts, these groups that have nothing really in common politically with the majority of Alabamians. But they seem to be leading here. Is that why we're talking so much about it? Is that why it gets so much oxygen? It's just most people, they're not really thinking about it. It's not on their radar. But the ones that have it on their radar, they're really winning kind of I won't say they're winning, but they are dominating the debate.
Well, they are dominating the debate, and I think you're starting to see some pushback against that. You know, the narrative, and some of this will play into what's going on in Memphis right now. But this narrative, this anti-police, anti-law enforcement narrative post really Ferguson, I would say, has gained a lot of traction. And you know me, I'm very close to law enforcement. My wife works for the sheriff's office down here, and I know a lot of those guys very well. And Sheriff Max, a good friend of mine. But you know, seeing what they have to put up with on a day-to-day basis is just incredibly frustrating. And the thought that the politicians are somehow or another caving to the argument of the left that, you know, the number of people, the amount of people, and the racial makeup of people that we are that are producing, you know, have crime or committing crime, and then how we're incarcerating them. It's just amazing to me that some of my colleagues are picking up on that. And it's not good. Now, we've seen some good movement in the other way, right? Anaya's Law, you know, some things that have taken place over time to really try to keep folks safer. But then there are also other things to point to. You know, the Good Times Law that we have in Alabama that Senator April Weaver will try to roll back here in the upcoming session, I think is a good example of that, where you have criminals serving only a third of their sentence. Some of these education incentives we have in prisons that let people out early. And then most recently, one that I know you've written about that allows early supervised release of prisoners, mandatory early supervised release of prisoners that are at their end of sentence. We're letting known criminals, bad guys, violent people out of jail early, up to a year early, so that we can supervise them to aid in their rehabilitation, which I have said before was a bad idea. It was part of the prison reform package, and during Governor Ivey's special session that I railed against, and it passed anyway. So we've got to do our homework educating my colleagues on how to roll some of that back.
Well, what do you make of this? And this is what I see from this crowd. It's like Beth Shelburne, Alabama Appleseed, Representative England at times, but the partisan parole board, and this made some headlines, Montgomery Advertiser and, you know, usual left-leaning outlets, 90% of those eligible, technically eligible for parole are denied by the board. The board is not acting in good faith. I don't have an understanding of it enough to really have a strong opinion one way or another, but I don't necessarily see a problem. And I like the way the attorney general explained it. He said, like, look, you know, it's hard to get into Alabama prisons. These are violent people. The partisan parole board is keeping the violent people off the streets, and these are violent people. So, but what do you make of that? What do you make of the way that is being handled?
The current pardon and parole board is doing a stellar job for Alabamians and protecting Alabamians' public safety. There is no question in my mind about that. They are doing their job. They are reviewing these cases on a case-by-case basis. A lot of those that come before the board are automatically eligible for parole after a very short time incarcerated that we would never think about letting out of jail for such a after they've been in for only such a short time. And pardons and paroles are obviously correctly denying those automatic parole requests. But then you have others. When you look at Alabama's prison population right now, you're talking about 75 to 80% of those that are in the prison population right now are violent criminals. They were violent before they were put in jail. They are violent within jail, and they're going to be violent when we let them out early, if we were to let them out early. So I am glad that the Pardon and Parole Board is doing what they're doing, following their mission, which is protecting public safety. They're looking at those cases individually, but what they're finding time and time again are what the facts lead them to, and that is these folks need to stay in jail. They're there for a reason.
Well, did you find the Bureau itself is functioning? I mean, under your former colleague, Senator Ward there, it seems like they got, you know, you look and you dig deep into what they're doing. It seems like they got the right idea of trying to reverse recidivism and get those numbers where they should be theoretically. But I mean, it's mental health. It's job training. It's what do you do after you get out? Because most of these guys in prison, most of them, the large majority of them are going to get out at some point. So you're thinking ahead. and you're trying to get them there. I mean, you know, this is one of these agencies probably I haven't given a lot of thought to, but now that you kind of look at it, it seems like it's moving in a good direction.
I think it's moving in a much better direction. There's no question about that. And, of course, the Alabama legislature and Attorney General Marshall deserve a lot of credit for pushing some legislation that would reform the Pardon and Paroles Board, make its executive director appointee by the governor. You get the idea. But I think also it's important to note that there is a primary mission in Pardons and Paroles, and it's not reducing recidivism. It is not making sure that former criminals, reassimilate it back into society. Their mission is public safety. It is making sure that people that need to stay in jail stay in jail. And with that as a focus, I think they're doing a good job. These other things that we talk about, yes, they're important. You know, the education, all these opportunities to get back into the workforce. All of those are fair conversations to have, if and only if we were focused on the primary mission, which is public safety and keeping bad people away from the rest of us.
Well, I mean, in that, a part of public safety is, well, you got this violent person, how do we make him less violent, right? And that, I guess, in theory at least, is how you, at least some would take an approach to ensuring public safety.
You have more faith in people than I do, and I'm sorry to say that, but I will tell you that, see recidivism rates.
That's their objective. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but isn't that the working notion, sort of?
That's what they talk about. That's what you see the Appleseed folks and the Southern Poverty Law Center and others talk about. I just don't have as much faith in rehabilitation as I do in incarceration and ensuring that bad people don't hurt the citizens that I represent. And I know that sounds, a little bit harsh, but it is. When we see recidivism rates like they are, when we see bad people getting out of jail, ostensibly after they have been rehabilitated, or at least we've tried to the best of our ability, and they reoffend and reoffend and reoffend, my job is to represent those folks to whom those folks are harming. You know, if you're being harmed by a criminal that we let out of jail earlier, that's our fault. And we need to quit doing that. The best way I can guarantee safety of the citizens I represent is keep bad people in jail. It's just not complicated. All this other stuff sounds great to talk about. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in keeping bad people in jail.
Last question on this topic. The prisoners, you guys had the special session in 2021 or whatever it was. And, Do you think progress is being made? I mean, we don't talk or hear a whole lot about the new mega prisons that you guys approved. How are those coming along?
Not well. I mean, that's the short answer. We need to the executive branch, for the longest time talked about the need for more prisons. The executive branch for the longest time decried the inability of the legislature to work on this problem, tried to go around the legislature in order to solve this problem, really sucked all the oxygen out of the argument and the need for the legislature to act while they tried to unilaterally solve this problem, failed to solve this problem, and then the legislature picked up the pieces of the failed prison program from Governor Ivey and was able to do what we knew we needed to do all along, which was fund new prison construction. And the legislature has done that over a year ago during a special session. And now it is incumbent upon the executive branch to execute that plan and get those prisons going, especially the one in Escambia County, which is still not moving. The money's there. The designs are there. Let's get on with it. And we need to move that along quickly. And then, frankly, Jeff, I think we need to start talking about whether or not we need more prisons as we go forward. Because as population increases and as crime increases and as we start prosecuting more criminals and as we hopefully start keeping more criminals in jail where they belong after our law enforcement folks have worked so hard to put them in jail, then we may very well need to look at more prisons. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the governor to go. I'm ready to get this moving. It's taking too long, and let's get on with it.
joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here for just a couple more minutes. Senator, something that didn't get a lot of attention, but it happened and it pertains to this area. The toll authority met, and it looks like the toll portion, at least, of the Mobile River and Bayway Bridge is approved. Just the formality, anything to take away from that?
You know, I think a thing to take away from that were the number of members that are on that toll authority who personally reached out to me, and I know other members of the kind of coastal delegation, to check and see, are y'all okay with this plan? Or before we move forward with this, are you okay? And that means a lot to me personally that members on the toll authority from North Alabama knew enough about the controversy surrounding this that they reached out to their colleagues and said, before we vote on this, we want to check with you and make sure you're okay. And the answer is, and they got, you know, almost unanimously, was yes. Yes, this plan is so much better than what was proposed originally, so much better than what we had to, you know, lie down on the tracks to keep from moving forward, that we think we're in a good spot. And I'm glad that the administration finally came around to listening to the locals, listening to the local legislative delegations, listening to local county commissioners, listening to local mayors and city council people and urban planners and others that said, hey, this is the wrong way to go. And they listened, they came around and let the MPOs drive that discussion, which is how it should have been from the very beginning. And now we're fast on our way to having the largest project that ALDOT's ever undertaken, let for contract and construction started here in coastal Alabama, so that we are getting truly our fair share of state road funding for coastal Alabama.
Senator, got to leave it there. We're out of time, but always appreciate our weekly visits and have a good weekend.
You got it, Jeff. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weather.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 1065.
I'm raising kids. I'm raising hell just like I did.